Today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Galatians. Brethren, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be made desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, and if a man be overtaken in any fault, you who are spiritual, instruct such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, whereas he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every one prove his own work, and so he shall have glory in himself only and not in another. For every one shall bear his own burden. And let him that is instructed in the word communicate to him that instructeth him in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. For he that soweth in his flesh, of the flesh also shall reap corruption. But he that soweth in the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And in doing good let us not fail, for in due time we shall reap, not failing. Therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. The Gospel for the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 7. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and there went with him his disciples and a great multitude. And when they came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a great multitude of the city was with her. Who, when the Lord had seen, being moved with mercy towards her, said to her, "Weep not." And he came near and touched the bier, and they that carried it stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear upon them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet is risen among us, and God hath visited his people." Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we see the very moving scene of a funeral, in which there was a young man who was the only child. The mother was a widow, and he has died, being taken out to the cemetery. He's on his way. Our Lord, seeing the difficulty that was experienced there, had mercy on those who were there, the widow and her son, and brought this young man back to life. Bringing someone back to life is something that's certainly stupendous. It's beyond the natural order. It's a miracle performed by God, showing us his divinity. It's the image of what happens in the confession. We know that a person who is suffering from mortal sin has no longer the life of God in him. He's destroyed the life of God in his soul, and so the soul, spiritually speaking, is dead. That means that the sanctifying grace is no longer there. It means that the supernatural virtues, the theological and cardinal virtues infused, are gone. The only thing that is left is faith and hope. Charity is gone. All of the gifts of the Holy Ghost are gone. All of the merit that the person attained through his efforts in cooperation with grace are gone. All of this is gone. And out of the mercy of God, he, by the confession, restores them. It's a way in which we, supernaturally speaking, restore the soul back to life. In today's day and age, we value life. You see great efforts made to keep it, to keep someone healthy on the natural level. You see them with all kinds of campaigns to do things to be healthy, to look after one's health. Healthcare is a big thing these days. And if there is anything that seems to be somewhat wrong, people, tend to that. Doctors take great care of us. Hospitals help those who have infirmity try to restore them back to good health. Intensive care areas are there to try to help the person who is in danger of death so they can come back to life or can restore that health and life that he once had. Unfortunately, I think with regard to our supernatural side of us, we don't take nearly the same good care that we try to take care of our bodies in our natural life, body and soul. I think there's a laxity in our spiritual life and our supernatural life. We are very reckless with regard to our souls and the health of our souls. You know, people have all kinds of health food, organic food, all these kinds of things to try to take care of their bodies, but their souls they pretty much neglect. They give token care to that, and sometimes they presume, it leads into presumption, that somehow if I don't do well, I'll just go to confession. And that'll be the solution. Confession is not the solution to this problem. Confession is to take away sins that are committed after baptism, yes. But there's something more, there's something missing. The spiritual health of the soul needs to be tended to. And in many cases, it's neglected. It's neglected so that we end up doing the same thing over and over and over again, coming back to the confessional to try to somehow restore the life that was lost in the soul. And then we go back out into the same situation we were before. There is a certain truth that we know, very basic truth, that we have to pay attention to. The same causes in the same circumstances produce the same effects. And so if we have been, sadly in a situation where maybe we've fallen, we not only have to be sorry for our sins, confess our sins, and make up our mind not to sin again, but we have to take certain precautions. We have to do certain things in order that we don't fall again. Again, the idea is the same causes and the same circumstances produce the same effects. So if we know, we can trace back, we have to examine to see what are the causes, what are the circumstances that affected us that caused us to fall in that sin. And we have to look in the mirror and we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to change so that we don't end up having this trail back and forth between where we've fallen into sin and back to the confessional again, so that this doesn't become a trail where it becomes a well-worn trail which develops into a rut. We have to see in the mirror and look at ourselves and say, how am I going to change? How am I going to change so that I don't continue to do this? The confessional is the last situation where we go because we have fallen. We want to prevent the fall. We want to develop good spiritual health. We want to have a strong and vibrant spiritual life so that we don't have to make this trail back and forth confessing sadly that we've fallen into mortal sin again. It's important for us, or even for that matter, deliberate venial sin, because it's the way in which mortal sin starts, because we get complacent and we commit venial sin, which is fully deliberate. We have to do something to stem that problem. We have to look at ourselves, take a good, hard look at ourselves, and say, what are we doing? In what way have we fallen? How did it happen? What were the causes? And what do I need to do to change? How do I need to change so that this doesn't continue? Because it can't continue. Otherwise, we risk the salvation of our souls. We put ourselves in peril. We don't consider the seriousness of what it is because we take it too lightly. And we think that somehow that the confessional is going to be the cure-all. It's not. It's not. It's a remedy after we've fallen, yes, but then we have to take a look at ourselves and see what we're doing. And that's the thing that I think is omitted many times when in one's spiritual life, we don't take the effort to look and see, how did this happen? Let's troubleshoot this. Let's make sure that it doesn't happen again. Yes, it requires God's grace. Yes, it requires His help. We need to invoke that help. We need to put ourselves in a situation where don't put ourselves in those occasions of sin. We need to change ourselves. We need to develop a more robust spiritual life. We need to fulfill our duties every day and do them well before God and before our fellow man in order to work to cooperate with the grace of God. We can't be complacent in just saying, oh, well, so what? I'm not really all that concerned. It's just, you know, I can go on. Some point in time, if we are so complacent, we may not be able to recover. And God has been merciful, yes, but that doesn't say that it will always continue. At some point in time, our life here on earth has ended, and we'll have to make an account for it. Even for the sins that we have committed, we will have to make some sort of an account for it, and the temporal punishment due to sin will still have to be taken care of at some point in time. We like sometimes to say that all of our problems are a result of original sin. Yes, there's a certain influence of original sin in our lives. We do have that to deal with. It is a weakness that we have. But also it's very interesting to note that not only does a weakness get created by original sin, but it also makes it worse when we have a practice of our own personal sin, which after a while also influences us in such a way that it makes it more difficult for us to do the good that we ought to do. And so our efforts need to be to not only just stay in the state of grace as a minimum, we need to do much, much more than that. We need to strive towards that perfection. We need to try to have souls that are healthy and vibrant. We need to take the means to do that, and we need to do that examination, not just an examination of conscience of the sins where we've fallen, where it already happened, but also where are the weaknesses that we have that we need to shore up to strengthen our spiritual life so that we can work to sanctify our souls every day and make them strong, make them cooperate with what the gifts of God has given to us so that we make them so that we have strong fortresses. We are in a battle. Next Sunday, we have the Feast of St. Michael. He talks about we are in a battle, and we have to be such that we are strong in that battle. We can't just be, you know, weak and expose ourselves and make ourselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. We have to be strong. We have to take the means necessary. We have to find out where the causes of our weaknesses are and work to correct them. And so with the help of God's grace, with the help of the saints in heaven, especially that of St. Michael, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and all the choirs of angels, we are such that we can be strong. But we need to take the means that are at our disposal in order to strengthen us. And we have to make those efforts and cooperate with that God's grace and not expect that God's just going to do it all for us and we can just sit there and be idle. It doesn't work that way. That's not the spiritual life at all. So let us resolve. Let us take some time to think about where we are weak. Where are our weaknesses? Where do we oftentimes fall? And take efforts to resolve to fight against that and to change our lives because we have to change. And to cooperate with that, stay away from the occasions of sin and work to sanctify our souls every day. This is our effort. This needs to be our constant battle that we fight. And if we continue to fight it, we're persevering in that battle, we will be victorious with the help of God's grace and the help of the saints. And so let be our resolve as we go forward, working always to please our Lord, to take the means necessary so that we can fight in this church militant, to be valiant in our efforts to fight, and to be able to be victorious in that battle. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.